All right, it is that time, man. We are off and rolling. We are hot on this thirsty Thursday, and it's not just because it feels like you just got out of the shower when you step outside in Nashville, Tennessee. Yeah, that's a lovely image. The boys didn't like that. Both Rhett Bryan and Luke Panzeca, who are here with me, made a face like they smelled something bad. I'm sorry, boys. I'm over 230 pounds. I sweat. Okay.
Hey, I'm right there in the club with you. I'm just saying the thought of that, the perspiration. I like warm weather, but I don't like muggy, oppressive weather.
Well, not that bad. It's like early 70s.
All right. Well, you and I are from the Mediterranean. We are capable of handling these things. But for the people, we're not here to talk about the weather, Dan. That's not what I'm here to do. Today we are going to talk about it's been almost all Julio all the time throughout the course of this week on 104.5 The Zone. And we, of course, appreciate you guys hanging out with us from 10 to 1. Don't forget, later on in the noon hour, you will hear from Mike Vrabel and various players coming off the practice field at St. Thomas Sports Park as practice has been bumped up, and we will keep you abreast of all of the latest that is going down at the final Titans OTA practice of the week. But this is exciting for a great many reasons. We talked to you about it in the first hour. Diana Russini reported this morning that Julio Jones is expected to be, in fact, I'll just read the tweet. Good morning from beautiful but rainy Nashville. Diana is feeling the humidity as well, apparently. The Titans wrap up their last voluntary practice, and today they are expecting number two, Julio Jones, I add parenthetically, to be on the field for the first time with the team. So it's going to be Julio Jones. Our buddy Teron Davenport added that A.J. Brown is expected to be out there for the first time as well. It's got the people abuzz. You got national media flying in for one OTA practice, Rhett Bryan. This is an unbelievable world that we find ourselves in talking about these Tennessee Titans.
This is the Julio Jones effect. This confirms for you just how big the acquisition of Julio Jones is for this franchise. Mike Keith said it to begin the week. It's the biggest trade that this team has made since they sent two number ones to the St. Louis Rams in 2001 for pass rusher Kevin Carter. And Kevin Carter, that's no slight towards Kevin Carter, but this is a bigger deal than that, because you're talking about this is like assembling Voltron to go fight, you know, wherever in space. Because I threw out the tweet over the weekend about what do we call this trio? And I'm like, wait a minute, we don't need to forget Ryan Tannehill. And I was like, using a wrestling analogy, they're the four horsemen. I mean, you've got four studs on offense that are going to put the fear into hearts of lots of opposing defenses in the NFL this fall, provided the, you know, usuals, health, those kinds of things. But to give you how big the Julio Jones effect is, I received a phone call, actually a voicemail was sent to me through the team. It says, this man's looking for you. And I'm like, okay, well, I play the voicemail. And it's a guy who is general manager of WHEP AM and FM in Foley, Alabama. Foley, mm-hmm. Alabama, the hometown of Julio Jones. It's right there on the Gulf of Mexico. You literally can leave Foley and be at the beach in just a few minutes. So it'd be the furthest south that we've ever had a Titans radio station. This guy called and said, I want to be a part of it. He was a Falcon station for obvious reasons, with the correlation with that being Julio Jones' hometown. He inquired about becoming a Titans radio station. That is also my duties during the offseason as affiliate relations. This guy comes to me. We talk it over. He verbally agrees. I'm sending him a contract. We're going to have a Titans radio station, WHEP, in Foley, Alabama, right there on the beach in the Gulf of Mexico, because Julio Jones grew up there and played high school football there.
That's got to be, for you and as many, I mean, you've been Titans radio since day one. You and Mike Keith and Pat Ryan, who's now calling the games for the University of Tennessee.
Yep.
You guys have seen it all over the course of the last 20-plus years with this organization. Has something like that, Rhett, has a singular player ever had that kind of effect? And I know we're talking like inside baseball for the people, but I think it contextualizes the impact of the kind of star that the Tennessee Titans have just acquired. I look at this, you know, he's not Tom Brady. Tom Brady was the discussion of all last offseason. Sure. The Tennessee Titans were discussed as a potential landing spot for Tom Brady. We all know how that played out, and I'm certain that Titans fans will live and be okay with the fact that Ryan Tannehill is one of the best quarterbacks in football right now. You get Derrick Henry, you get A.J. Brown, now you have Julio Jones to kind of keep pace with old man Brady. But has a singular player ever had that kind of impact where you're picking up new affiliates just because of him?
It happened once before. And we had a station for about 3 or 4 years in Honolulu, Hawaii, because of Marcus Mariota. But yep. Now you're talking about quarterback, which is, you know, it's a quarterback league. But other than that, no. And, you know, we kind of outlined it in the last segment of hour one of the Buck Rising show about this is the off-season story for the league that doesn't involve anything with Deshaun Watson and certainly what happens potentially with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's such a cool if you're a Titans fan, like I can't imagine, you know, I see Twitter and I see all of the there's a certain, you know, I have a handful of fans that I follow to kind of keep the pulse on what the people are talking about across the internet.
The old water cooler talk.
When they're not lighting me up in my mentions for whatever dumb thing that I've said into this microphone on a regular basis about their favorite team. But the Tennessee Titans, their fan base, the conversation for so long, and it's one of my least favorite sports talk radio tropes, is nobody cares about us. Why can't I turn on the television and hear about my favorite team? They don't want to talk about us. The fan base isn't big enough to carry national television ratings, so the national television networks adjust accordingly. And you understand that part of the business. I think Titans fans have kind of have come at peace with this a little bit, but just something as simple as my friend Diana being flown down here by ESPN, the biggest and the baddest of the sports media networks, being flown down here for one single OTA practice just because the camera wants a shot of Julio and AJ Brown standing next to one another, because of course AJ's going to be out there as well. He's not even going to miss out on this. This will be his first. Well, we don't know what he's done throughout the course of the week so far, but the one that we are going to be able to see, Julio Jones and AJ Brown together. AJ doesn't want to miss out as a part of this either. It's that kind of effect. It is a galvanizing thing outside of just what he's going to be able to do on the field. Because the expectation at this point is that he's 100% healthy.
You have Kendrick Perkins on First Take calling his shot the Titans win the Super Bowl yesterday. Like, has that ever happened before on that show?
Rhett, are you going to be upset? Now, Rhett Bryan has already guilted me about this being the this isn't the first time you've been on the radio show. This is not the first time you've been
on the draft stuff, we definitely.
Rhett's side-eyeing me. Are you alleging this is the first time we've put you on the radio show? This is incredible.
That's why I texted you this morning when we said, hey, come on, I'm like, okay, first time for everything.
This is incredibly disrespectful.
I swore we had him for a long segment pre-draft.
I think this is your fault.
You're going to pin this on me?
I will pay the dollar to blame you, to throw you under the bus for something that is probably my fault.
I will not fall on this sword.
But Rhett,
I book Rhett for Blaine and Mickey all the time, so I'm in the clear over
here.
That's
where that's what you remember. I did do that every week for them leading up to the draft. This is the first time I've officially been on the Buck Rising program.
This is unbelievable. I feel so wrong about what we've done to my friend. Like, Rep Ryan needs to work more for free at this point. But anyway,
I've contributed though.
Sure,
we outlined it in the, you know, the poll stuff.
Voices on the show literally every day.
Every day. We can't do the show without Rep.
I'm there in spirit.
But like Rhett, Rhett, are you going to be offended as somebody who has worked for Titans Radio for the entirety of its existence, and now is making his first appearance on the radio show of Kendrick Perkins because my weekly Titans analyst just because he picked him for the Super Bowl on First Take?
No. And listen, I think you hit on something, because you hear phone callers on your show every day, and we hear it on the Zone all day long about we don't get the respect, we don't get, and that used to bother me a little bit, but I'm like, you know what? And the television market size in Nashville has grown as the populace has grown.
Certainly.
It's not in the, you know, it was the 42nd television market for a long time. It's in the top 25 now.
Yeah.
But it's still not Los Angeles, New York, Chicago.
Dallas.
And so on. Right. So this whole we don't get any respect, the Rodney Dangerfield Act, you know, I don't pay attention to that anymore because until, you know, you're going to see it happens every year. I mean, we've seen it in the playoffs recently with Mike Vrabel and the staff. They don't really start picking up steam in this thing until they're deep into it, going into an AFC championship game or what. You know, nobody gave them a chance against Baltimore 2 years ago in the divisional round. And you know, kind of rightly so. It was a number one seed. You know, they were the lowest remaining seed. But this is something that's been a deal for forever. But the fact, you're right, that Diana Russini comes to an OTA. This isn't even mandatory minicamp. This isn't training camp. This is the last day of OTAs, and she's coming to see Julio Jones. Now, the other part of the Julio Jones effect I'm interested to see is who else on the team shows up to practice, because it went up exponentially the first Thursday we were allowed to go over there in OTAs. There was 53 guys I saw on field doing things, not counting guys working in treatment in the building, whatever. Then there was almost 19 more last week. Mm-hmm. What's it going to be today? Now, the quarterback shows up last week, so that changes some things. Now you've got the quarterback and the weapons. You know, I don't know that we'll still see Derrick Henry today.
Not based off his workout video down there in Dallas.
Right. He'll be there next week, mandatory minicamp, I believe.
Yeah.
We'll see. But I'm interested to see who shows up.
Certainly. You know what else I'm interested in? The top pass-catching combinations in the NFL. We are going to talk about it with Rhett Bryan. Lucas is here as well. Perhaps he'll get in on all the action. But we're going to see how this Titans receiving core stacks up against the best of the best across the NFL. That's what's coming up next. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Man, everybody is excited. You could hear it. It is buzzing in the 104.5 The Zone studios. I can only imagine how the city of Nashville feels. We can see how you are interacting and reacting to the news that Julio Jones will be out there at the final voluntary OTA practice of the year. Everybody is fired up today in a way that I didn't. Rhett Bryan of Titans Radio in here with us for this segment. We will talk a little bit about what's going on at the University of Tennessee coming up next, because it can't all be Julio, try as we might. But Rhett, I mean, the people can feel the energy. The people can feel the excitement. Hell, I'm excited. I'm probably about as curmudgeon as it gets around here about the Tennessee Titans. I try to maintain my distance, but it's hard not to have this kind of excitement. And listen, if I can find ways to get some juice out of a final voluntary OTA, baby, I'm gonna take advantage of it every step of the way.
Well, you think about the four guys that, you know, I just threw it out there over the weekend about calling them the four horsemen. I mean, you outlined it earlier in your show about Ryan Tannehill in his last 24 games has numbers comparable to Patrick Mahomes. Now, we're not saying he's Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
But the passer rating, the completion percentage, the touchdown to interception ratio, all of that, it's right there. The only thing where it's different is I think Patrick Mahomes has about 900 more yards passing than him in 24 games, which makes sense because it's Derrick Henry and, you know, the whole deal. But you're talking about him who has just completely turned his career in a real positive direction after getting traded for a fourth round draft pick and a bag of potato chips from the Miami Dolphins. And then you've got the 2,000 yard rusher and arguably the best back in the league back there in the backfield in Derrick Henry and AJ Brown. I mean, you look at his numbers. CBS Sports tweeted the other day, it's like he's one of four wide receivers to have 2,000 yards receiving and 20 receiving touchdowns in his first 2 years. And I can't remember who the fourth person was, but the first two I saw on the list was Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Pretty dang good company.
Well,
and then now you pepper in Julio Jones, the preeminent wide receiver of the last decade of the NFL, and has been a stud basically his whole football career, like a Derrick Henry. And they're all there together in this. Just the possibilities of what you can see with this offense is going to be very interesting, to say the least.
Without question. And we're going to get into the best pass-catching combos in the NFL with Rhett and Lucas here in just a second. If you want to nominate your own, you can do so on Twitter at Buck Rising, or give us a call, 615-737-1045. 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation. But before we do that, Rhett, I mean, I'm putting you on the spot here because you have a greater depth. I know where my knowledge base lacks, and I don't go back as far, and this isn't to age you, my brother, but I don't go as far back in NFL history and NFL knowledge as you yourself do for all the years of Titans football that you and Titans Radio have covered. And I don't say this to be hyperbolic or recency bias, but where does Julio Jones rank among the best wide receivers of all time? Because I'm looking at some of the stats because everybody is gravitating toward this. ESPN stats and Invo, Next Gen stats. I mean, Julio Jones has the most receiving yards through 10 years of anyone not named Jerry Rice.
Right.
It's hard to not have that conversation, and I know we're only doing it because he's here in Tennessee, but that struck me in a way that I normally don't do lists radio, but that kind of caught my attention and really made me think about how good is this dude.
He's the first, the quickest wide receiver to 10,000 receiving yards in the history of the NFL that's going into its 102nd season.
Yeah.
I mean, you start looking at the numbers, it's ridiculous. And for anybody who wants to argue otherwise, you'd be out of line. This guy's a future Hall of Famer. Every year he is putting up ridiculous numbers. And Lucas, you and Will Bowling had the stat, you know, a few days ago with Memorial Day coverage that you guys did. He would lead, what, nine teams. In the NFL in receiving? I mean, which goes right into our wide receiver duos here, but that's in an injury-shortened year.
Yeah.
With a hamstring.
Yeah.
He still would have led 9 teams out of 32.
He would have led the Patriots, Giants, Eagles, Ravens, Colts, Jaguars, Saints, 49ers, and Jets.
Look at you out here producing on the fly. We love to see it. So with that, let's get into this bet, because it's not just wide receivers that we're going to factor into this conversation, because not everybody has good enough wide receivers to have a pass-catching duo that we're going to measure against Arthur Juan Brown and Quintoris Lopez Jones.
Which I did not know that was his name until now, by the way.
That's what do you mean?
It's incredible. Julio's real name?
Quintoris Lopez Jones?
Yeah, had no idea.
Okay.
That's incredible.
Head under a rock. Anyway, so let's take a look at the AFC South, because that's Red, I got to rough him up a little bit.
Of course. But to your point about this is going to be pass-catching tandems, not necessarily wide receivers, because in the modern-day NFL, in the current-day of tight ends, they're big wide receivers. That's why we're saying duos.
Yes. So let's start in the AFC South, because that's what the people care about the most. And let's start with the team that we expect the least from, the Houston Texans, with the mad preacher Jack Easterby out here presiding over.
They don't need minicamp.
The mad preacher.
Yeah.
Okay.
I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Okay. Ain't that right, Caleb Farley?
Woo.
Yeah, so they have 3,700 running backs at this point. Not that many wide receivers, but there are at least three names that I think would qualify for this conversation, and I couldn't decide which was the best combination of the three, because you do have Randall Cobb, who does have a history of being, I won't call him quite prolific because of who he's played with, but competency, certainly. Randall Cobb getting up there in age. Brandon Cooks has been traded several times for several first-round draft picks.
Productive last year.
He has avoided concussions in recent history, but of course that has always kind of bogged him down. And then there's Kiki Kuti, who is an interesting player unto himself. We don't know who is going to be throwing them passes this year, which could expose them as whether they are actually good enough to be in this conversation. But among those three players, Rhett, I'm partial to saying Cobb and Cooks being the better combination of the three wide receivers, discounting Kuti to a degree. Now, we've only seen Kuti a little because he has himself dealt with injuries, and Will Fuller had factored into this conversation, but of course he now plays for the Miami Dolphins on a one-year deal. What do you make of the Houston Texans wide receiving corps?
No, I think you're right on the money. It's Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks, just because Kiki Kuti has had a lot of the injury bug for sure. Did they take a wide receiver in the draft? That's what I'm trying to look
it
as
took
we're talking. Brevin
Jordan, tight end.
That's right. My favorite tight end in the draft. They took him, and he might be somebody that would be on this list next year. But if Tyrod Taylor is laying on the sidelines because he's injured, because I mean,
for the same reasons that Deshaun Watson has been running for his life for the past 6 years.
Exactly. Oh, well, they did take Nico Collins from Michigan, big receiver from Michigan in that.
Right.
But, yeah, it's Randall Cobb and Brandon Cooks because Kiki QT has been dinged up quite a bit. Will Fuller has seen his time on and off the injury list, but as you alluded to, he is no longer a Houston Texan.
Well, and to that point, there are going to be several rookies on this list, but some of these guys we just have not seen enough work yet. Some of these guys are going to be inserted into the lineup right away. So that keep that in mind when we're going through this. Now, the Titans, of course, we know A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. I imagine that they are going to come out victorious of the AFC South division in terms of this best pass catcher combination. The Colts are an interesting case study as well because T.Y. Hilton is in the same, I think, I don't think, he's not in the same league skill-wise as Julio, but I think they're in the same kind of cycle in their career where they're at the tail end of their prime, and it does matter who is throwing them passes. They'll go from Phillip Rivers to Carson Wentz this year, that being probably the biggest unknown in the division, the biggest ability to kind of decide how this division plays out over the course of the season. But T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman, Paris Campbell, or former Titans practice squatter Zach Pascal, because Zach Pascal has been a productive wide receiver for them over the past couple of years. Paris Campbell, the injuries continue to bog him down. Michael Pittman, you know, he had like one big catch against the Titans, but that was on the Thursday night football game. Poor Kenny Vaccaro got just absolutely exposed in that moment. But outside of T.Y., I mean, Mo Alie-Cox at tight end has shown some promise. I can't decide which of those three wide receivers, though, I think would be able to play a secondary role to T.Y., when in reality it's probably going to be some combination of all three of them.
Yeah, and there was even thought that T.Y. wouldn't be a Colt because, you know, he floated out in free agency for a little bit there and then came back and signed a deal to be there because, you know, he's getting a little long in the tooth and he's starting to have some injury concerns himself. I think Michael Pittman is certainly the leader in the clubhouse because he will have he's one of the classic cases of second-year wide receiver makes the step. Not all rookies produce monster numbers. You know, that's a shorter list, although 7-on-7 and those things are changing that with deep wide receiver classes every year in the draft. And I'm looking at their draft picks, too, just in terms of what's coming down the road for them. And, you know, they didn't take a wide receiver until the 7th round. They took a guy that I had looked at as a small school guy named Michael Strawn, who is this monster wide receiver from University of Charleston, who is from the Bahamas, that they took a flyer pick on late in that deal. I think he's somebody that would be interesting to watch later on down the road. But right now, it's T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman.
You know what? I'm kind of intrigued by the Jags in a way that I didn't expect to be, because I looked at DJ Chark and they added Marvin Jones, who was a topic of conversation for the Titans, given that they could, pre-Julio, could have used help at wide receiver. And even after the draft, understanding that Marvin Jones had signed with them before the draft, Trevor Lawrence, of course, the first overall pick, will be the quarterback there. DJ Chark and Laviska Shenault, is he a wide receiver, Rhett? Like, I don't exactly know what he is. He's definitely, he's got some Percy Harvin to him in a way that I'm sure Urban Meyer loves.
Yeah, he would be listed on their official depth chart and identified as a receiver, but he's more of a utility player. And that's, you know, that goes back to his time in Colorado. I mean, he was very used very differently there. He wasn't just a wide receiver. He was used in the backfield. He was even a wildcat quarterback. So, you know, he's a weapon. He's kind of like what Kyle Pitts is going to be for the Atlanta Falcons in this thing. But, yeah, he is certainly on that. But DJ Chark, who's really made strides the longer he's been in Jacksonville, and then Marvin Jones, a savvy vet, that's your two dudes.
So in the interest of time, because, of course, we spent the most time on the AFC South, that's the division that most people, I would imagine the vast majority of people listening to this radio show, care about. We can go ahead and declare no homerism, the Titans the winner in terms of pass-catching duos in this division. I don't think anybody's going to dispute that at this
point.
Yeah, so let's take a look at the AFC North. Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews were my two nominees for this. Mark Andrews, an exceptional tight end. Baltimore always has a variety of weapons. at the position. The Ravens, I think, are going to come out. I say they're going to come out the victors in this division for this exercise. But Odell and Jarvis Landry, of course, David Njoku at tight end for the Browns. You've got Ja'Marr Chase now in Cincinnati, T. Higgins or Tyler Boyd.
And that's potentially a really good combo out of that division right there.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, washed body like a trash bag full of broken glass, Ben Roethlisberger, throwing passes to Juju Smith-Schuster and Chase Claypool. The Ravens, I think, they have the most interesting roster for this conversation because of all the wide receivers that they had. They drafted Rashad Bateman, the wide receiver out of Minnesota, who many Titans fans had a little bit of a crush on. You look at Devin Duvernay, who's been there for a little while now. James Proche is kind of a roster bubble type guy. And they signed Sammy Watkins in the offseason. But, Rhett, you and I have had conversations, and Lucas included in this, in the green room, about what exactly Lamar is, understanding that he's a prolific generator of offense, understanding that the Ravens coaching staff has found a way to maximize his skill set. For all the wide receivers that they have, I don't necessarily know that it matters all that much in this offense, given that the tight ends are still going to be the focal point and Marquise Brown is inconsistent so much of the time.
Well, and don't forget, in the fourth round, they took Tylan Wallace from Oklahoma State, another wide receiver in this thing. And look, I have been a little more outspoken about what I believe the deal is there. I think between the combination of Greg Roman as the offensive coordinator, and there's some kind of disconnect there between he and Lamar Jackson. I don't believe Lamar Jackson has put in the work to counter what defenses have seen on film, really from almost 2 years ago, with what the Titans did to him in the divisional round of the playoffs, and showing the formula of here's how you beat this guy. And until he does, that's why you couldn't get many wide receivers to come. They had visits out the wazoo, but nobody signed.
Yeah. It is the best wide receiver core he's ever had, right? Like, it's not close.
Right.
Oh, no, they're giving him the weapons.
Yeah.
But to Rhett's point, the development has not quite been there. He's still out-athleting people in a way that you notice on the field. And every once in a while, that results in like a 48-yard touchdown run against the Tennessee Titans in the playoffs.
That's it.
Depending on, you know, it's unfortunate if you were interested in seeing the home team advance. The AFC East, I see Corey Davis, Elijah Moore, the rookie, or Jamison Crowder. I think that you could probably go back and forth. Now, both of those guys do similar things, and you will see a new coaching staff and a new quarterback for Corey Davis, and we wish him the best of luck with that godforsaken franchise. Stephon Diggs and Cole Beasley. Of course, the Bills are probably, you know, it's the Bills, it's the Browns, it's the Chiefs as the biggest competition, I think, for the Tennessee Titans. I'm down on the Ravens more than I thought I would be, despite all the work that they've done to upgrade. Patriots, I'm going two tight ends. I'm going Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry when I looked at their roster. And then the Dolphins have upgraded the talent level around Tua Tagovailoa as well with Will Fuller and Jaylen Waddle. What kind of strikes you there, boys, about the AFC East?
Patriots don't have a number one receiver.
Well, they do. He just stinks. I mean, that's a tough scene.
Well, let's go a step further. They've got a quarterback who can't throw the ball very far anymore in Cam Newton.
Well, they got two. So I don't know how long Cam is going to last and how much pressure Mac Jones is capable of putting on him.
But as of right now, it's the Cam Newton show.
Yeah.
As we sit here, you know, in the middle of June.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the first part of that for me.
And
but Jonnu and Hunter, I would put that way just because of that situation.
Yeah, 100%. That's why that kind of stuck out to me. The AFC West, Jerry Jeudy and Noah Fant or Cortland Sutton, even though we didn't see him in the Titans season opener last year at Denver, he had an Achilles injury or Achilles or ACL. I can't quite remember. They do have an interesting situation, not just at quarterback because they're trying to figure out whether Drew Locke's worth a damn or not at this point. But that Tim Patrick, I really liked as a wide receiver. People had talked about him as a trade target for the Tennessee Titans. Darren Waller and Henry Ruggs with the Las Vegas Raiders. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. I want so much better for Keenan Allen. And I love Justin Herbert. maybe I don't love him that much. I love I love Justin Herbert, and I thought they, you know, despite getting their head coach fired, I thought Justin Herbert had as prolific a rookie season as any as we've seen lately. But I mean, it's the Chiefs, and it's bar none the Chiefs, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Well, and let me say this, and this is kind of a one-off of the dynamic duos we're doing here receiving. The Chargers, I think, are one of the teams that's going to step forward in the 2021 season because I think they have six games where they face opponents that were in playoffs in 2020. And, of course, two of those six would be the aforementioned Kansas City Chiefs. That, they found their quarterback, and they're starting to build weapons around him. I feel like if Mike Williams can stay healthy and help Keenan Allen, they could be a dangerous duo. But in this division, and as much as Darren Waller is an absolute stud, it's Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. That wide receiver draft with Mike Williams and Corey Davis, understanding that Corey Davis kind of started the run, and we'll talk about the NFC.
John Ross.
All the good. Well, Titans fans wanted him, too.
Well,
they saw
fast.
A dude get run fat.
He was fast.
Okay, but like what else, Rhett?
Well, I mean, it just didn't work out for him. Couldn't stay healthy. Little guy.
Yeah, we'll get into the NFC coming up next because it's not quite as in-depth a conversation. There's some pretty definitive favorites at that point. I saw this graphic, Rhett and Lucas, from Pro Football Focus yesterday that really, really struck a nerve. And it seems that Pro Football Focus has moved away from becoming an informational and data and analysis-driven resource to now they want to create lists and drive content and conversation during the offseason. But it was the top play callers in the NFL based on Pro Football Focus's analysis. It was Matt LaFleur at number one. Andy Reid stuck out to me. It went Matt LaFleur, Brian Daboll, Andy Reid, and then John Gruden. Where the hell does John Gruden belong in this conversation? He's fun to watch because of the facial expressions he makes, but that I cannot get myself. It's the Chargers and the Raiders that I try to excite myself about every year. And the Chargers' injury luck, it's straight from the pits of hell at this point. The way that they get ravaged every year, and everybody gets excited about the Chargers. But send the Raiders straight into the sun. I'm tired of John Gruden. I'm tired of his $100 million. And I'm tired of Derek Carr. I don't understand.
Tell me how you really feel, Buck.
I mean,
I can knock on wood if you're with me.
There it is, Lucas.
I can only do so much. See, he works. Brevity is the soul of wit. Lucas has figured out how to work in short spaces. But I don't understand why we continue this obsession with the Raiders other than the national media likes to point a camera at Gruden's face.
Mm-hmm.
So we will get into the NFC coming up next. It's a much shorter conversation because Tampa Bay rules the roost and tends to, you know, they have built a super team around him. But the best pass catcher duos in the NFC coming up next. We'll see if they can't hold a candle to, as we mentioned, Arthur Juan Brown and Quintoris Lopez Jones. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Show rolling right along on this Thirsty Thursday. We have enjoyed Rhett Bryan's presence of Titans Radio at Rhett B. Tennessee is where you can follow the big homie, of course, producing fantastic content, including all of the promos, not all of the promos, but the good promos that you hear running on 104.5 The Zone. Rhett, you are an artist, my brother. I have declared that I want to hear no other voices on my radio show, or at least during the 3 hours that I have air to fill. I have declared that you are the only voice that I want hovering around the content that we do around
well,
here.
Well, you're very kind to say that, and you recognize a jackass when you see one. So I'm here to help.
Big voice guy and Buck have a complicated relationship.
They do.
Well, I had no problems with him until he accused me of being a cough syrup addict.
Drug addict.
Oh, yeah, with the whole eyebrows thing.
Yeah, what the hell? You know,
you say these things on the air. You are subject to these things.
Well, I don't think that anybody's actually listening to me. That's why I'm at least passable at my
the
job.
The name of the game.
Because I have no I have no filter in what
talk
I what,
like. No one's listening.
It's the beauty of this show. So we have been doing the best pass catching duos in the NFL and how they kind of stack up to the Titans. We will give you our final evaluation momentarily. We have done the AFC. Now, boys, it is time to look at the NFC. And then at the end of this, we will have an update for you on Tennessee athletics, because I think we learned a ton about athletic director Danny White yesterday in his media availability. But in the NFC South, the Falcons have done the Titans a great favor and sent Julio Jones to Nashville, Tennessee. It's the reason that we are all abuzz here before the St. Thomas Sports Park final OTA voluntary workout of the year gets ready to break out, and then we'll be able to update you on the latest before Mike Vrabel takes to the virtual podium. But Calvin Ridley and Kyle Pitts are who Arthur Smith is going to roll into 2021 with. Rhett, I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is that they looked at Julio Jones, and for obvious reasons, they had to get his contract off the books. They could have found ways to make the money work, but it would have complicated things
sure.
in a way that I don't think Terry Fontenot, the new GM down there, wanted to try and patch together. I think he's looking for as close to a fresh start as humanly possible. But the question about these two, because the numbers with Calvin Ridley, without Julio Jones in the lineup, they're still really good.
Oh, Calvin Ridley's no joke. Now, he's not Julio Jones.
Right.
But when you draft Kyle Pitts fourth overall, and it's not just he's just not just a tight end, because you've heard Coach Dave McGinnis say it right here on your show and on all the others on the zone, this guy's a weapon. He can be a wideout. He's that big and physical, and I don't think they're going to miss a beat because of that draft pick, who is probably one of the highest-rated, best-evaluated tight ends in many, many years in that position in the draft over the last decade or so. I mean, he's way up there in terms of what he potentially can do. But, hey, listen, in the NFC South, it's got to be the Tampa Bay tandem of Mike Evans and Chris Godwin just because of the Tom Brady effect in this. Because you look at Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, they got famous Jameis Winston, they got Taysom Hill, there is no Drew Brees.
Right.
And then the Panthers, that's going to be an interesting thing as Matt Rhule goes into year two, as he traded for his quarterback from the New York Jets. And so he's got Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore there. But I still say it's Evans and Godwin right there.
And that's probably going to be the class of the entire conference at this point. Now, the Packers, with whomever is playing quarterback, Davante Adams, Robert Tonyan, Big Bob Tonyan, and Equanimeous St. Brown. Now, they may lead the division in names alone. Davante Adams, I don't know. Is Davante Adams the best wide receiver in football right now?
He was last year.
Yeah, I mean, what, he had 19 receiving touchdowns? I think that would qualify him as, yes, that is good. But there's and Robert Tonyan's a great story, but they've just got a bunch of guys. And I'm not – no slight towards Equanimeous St. Brown or
– Allen Lazard. Marquez,
yeah, or Marquez Valdes-Scantling. This is why there's a problem with their quarterback in this, is they haven't taken a first-round weapon to help Aaron Rodgers since they drafted Aaron Rodgers.
I think that they're and that's been his biggest plight, right? They had the opportunity to upgrade his talent around him sufficiently, and then they traded up to get Jordan Love, and now everybody's pissed at each other, and all hell is breaking out in Green Bay, Wisconsin. For me, though, for as much as I dislike watching Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen are damn good. Like I think in the NFC North, when you remove the quarterback from the conversation, and maybe that's a dumb thing to say because wide receiver is the most dependent of the positions on a football field because of who is throwing them the passes, Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen are talented beyond measure. Adam Thielen through work ethic and Justin Jefferson just pure physical ability at this point, and he's only going to grow and develop. Ask Malcolm Butler because he gave him the business last year in week three. In the NFC East, the division in all of the NFL that I wish to defund the most, I continue my campaign to defund the NFC East. Rhett, I would hope you would join me in this campaign. There are many causes that are being taken up. Many people are marching for many different reasons. I would like to march against the NFC East.
This is like the AFC South in 2015.
When Antonio Andrews was not a nose biter, but somebody who was a starting running back.
But funnier.
I hate watched it at the end. I hate watched it at the end of the year. Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb, a lot of sex appeal for the Cowboys. You got Scary Terry and Curtis Samuel for the Washington football team. Yeah, Adam Humphries. Jalen Reagor and Travis Fulgham, the former tight end, the beloved Travis Fulgham of our buddy Michael Kist down there, or up there, I guess, in Philadelphia. Kenny Golladay and Sterling Shepard are how the Giants chose to upgrade their pass-catching group. Scary Terry and Curtis Samuel, I like.
Yeah, and you got Fitzmagic there throwing him the ball, but that's a duo because they got Curtis Samuel from the Panthers in the offseason in free agency. I really like that deal regardless of the quarterback. Those are two really good receivers.
The NFC West, you look at George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. Rhett brought up Brandon Ayuk as well. The Cardinals rocking with DeAndre Hopkins, and I put Rondale Moore there, Rhett, because I love him as a talent. I would have loved to see him on the Tennessee Titans. They have guys like Christian Kirk and A.J. Green, or what's left of A.J. Green at this point in his career.
Larry, I think Rondale Moore goes there by what you've just described.
It's got the Rhett Bryan stamp of approval, So I feel confident in my decision. The Rams, with an upgraded quarterback, Matt Stafford's going to make all the difference in the world, but Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. The NFC West is one of the best divisions in football, if not the best division in football, and the wide receiving talent, the pass catching talent among them, a big reason.
Yeah, Danger Russ Wilson there makes the Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf entertaining, but all of those duos, that's a lot of offense right there. Yeah. A lot of it.
So it looks like we're going with the Buccaneers in the NFC.
Yep.
By consensus, do we have consensus?
Yes.
Unanimous on my part.
Okay, we'll take that, and then we will look. Man, I'm conflicted. I like the Titans group. I like them a lot. I don't know who will be more productive, the Chiefs or the Titans. I don't want to have any bias that I may have just because it's the city that I live in. It's the team that I cover. Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill versus A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
And let's throw a caveat in there. By the time we get to the fall, what if an Aaron Rodgers is in Denver? So then Jerry Jeudy, Noah Fant, or Courtland Sutton becomes right there with those other two groups you mentioned.
Well, can you imagine? If Aaron Rodgers is quarterbacking, if Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes are quarterbacking a wild card team, that would be unfortunate for all the other teams in the AFC. I am going to, everybody gets to make their own decision. Why don't we put Lucas on the spot? Lucas, I'll put you under pressure first. Who are you going with?
I think AJ and Julio will demand the most attention from defensive backs as opposed to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but I think Kelce and Hill will be more productive. Chiefs are going to be throwing the ball way more than the Titans. If this offense goes according to plan and everybody's healthy, I think those two will be more productive, but still maintaining AJ and Julio attract more attention.
I wouldn't disagree with what he's saying. I would tend to agree with that with Lucas.
You're going to make me be the homer on the show.
Ah, yes.
This is not.
Finally.
Lucas, this is not the place that I thought I would find myself in.
That's why I set it up that way.
Been a long time coming.
This is, and I don't just do this because the first take in me is strong and we must embrace debate on this show, but I think the combination of Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, A.J. Brown, and Julio Jones, I think they outscored the Chiefs last year with worse talent. I think that they are entirely capable, understanding that they upgraded the offensive line. I think that they are entirely capable of doing the same, and that is something that I promised myself I would not do. I would not hype up the expectations. I would not work the fan base into a froth, but damn it, I'm doing it.
Now pick the Vols to win the College World Series. Let's keep this train rolling.
Well, listen, I'll pick them to win the College World Series, but you can get the hell out of here with your Tennessee Volunteers in football and winning the East. That's just, I can't do that.
Oh, I wouldn't dare.
I don't got that in me. When we come back, we will talk a little bit about Vols Athletic Director Danny White. We will also hear from Mike Vrabel and Titans players as they come off the practice field at St. Thomas Sports Park. I'm Buck Rising. This 104.5 The Zone.